All right. Welcome to the Patriots podcast. My name's Sean. His name's JJ.
Hello.
All right. Here we are. We haven't been talking to you guys in a couple weeks, but we are 2 days before the NFL draft here, and there's been a couple flurries of Patriots roster changes. Not really changes.
Absolutely.
But some updates that we wanted to discuss here on the podcast. The most simple one is one we predicted a long time ago. Danny Amendola took a pay cut.
Huge pay cut.
I mean, he was going to make like 7.8, and now he's down to like 2.6.
Is it 2.6?
And
so the final number is?
Well, it's only like $1.5 million is like what he's making in new money this year.
Right.
The other is like leftover signing bonus money. So he just got gutted.
Yeah. And I mean, he's the fourth receiver. He realized, he said in the past he wants to stay to win. He wants to win. That's the important thing to him. So, I mean, you got to really figure your shit out. He's old. You know, he's probably like, you know, what am I going to go do? Make $2 million somewhere else?
Yeah.
It's not like he's getting paid anywhere.
No, he's not going to make crazy money at this time. At this point in his career, especially after like 4 years in New England as a middling option. A very good one. I really like the role that he plays coming in on third down.
Absolutely. Clutch player.
Yeah, but he's not a great Super Bowl. He had two good Super Bowls.
So, yeah, I mean, smart decision on his part. He's on a winning team. I mean, it's a stacked fucking team. I wouldn't want to leave for, you know, a couple $100,000 if you're making $2 million or $1.5 million. Yeah, that's enough.
And he's probably made $20 million overall in his career.
You think that much?
Yeah, well, he signed a five-year, $35 million deal with the Patriots, and he's restructured three times.
So he's seen only like 10 of that.
Maybe 15.
15, yeah.
Maybe 15 of that. And then he played a few years before that with the Rams.
True.
So maybe right around there, and obviously taxes are an issue. But, you know, glad to have him back. You mentioned he's the fourth receiver, if he's lucky.
If he's lucky.
If he's lucky.
Malcolm Mitchell might beat him up. Yeah. Wow. That's
kind
crazy.
Crazy to look at it that way, but that is the case. Glad to have him back, and I would expect him to make the roster. I don't see any reason we wouldn't carry five receivers for those guys.
Yeah, for
all
sure.
All talented players. Another contract change, James White signed a three-year extension.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody seems pretty happy about that. I think it was
big congrats to that.
About 12, remember, 12 million overall.
Remember what everyone was saying about him this time last year?
Why, what were they saying?
No one liked him.
Oh, well, we thought he was going to make the roster.
I don't know. You said he might get cut. Everyone else I knew said he could get cut, and I was like,
Well, why did they bring in Donald Brown last year then?
I don't know. They always bring in those shitty veterans that don't do anything in training camp.
And give them $500,000 guaranteed to
get
cut
in the
first week of training camp.
Maybe they weren't so sold. I knew. I was always holding out for the guy.
Sure. All right.
Anybody go back. It's on the tape.
Yeah, it's all
it's on the tape.
Go to the podcast feed, pick something out from a year ago this time, last year, and see what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you were maybe, he's okay.
I don't know.
You were just blowing up Deion Lewis. That's probably what you were doing.
Maybe. No, so, but yeah, congrats to him.
Yeah, congrats to him. And he probably left some money on the table. Who knows if he made the open market next year, he might have got more money than that, but...
Probably.
Those are the prices you pay. And it was a three-year extension, so he's with us for the next 4 years under contract.
Not bad.
So pretty good. It gives us some sense of long-term stability at running back, considering James White was going to be up, Deion Lewis was going to be up, Rex Burkhead was going to be up, LeGarrette Blount remains unsigned, and then they pick up another guy.
Yeah.
Who?
Gillisley.
Mike Gillisley, who was a restricted free agent from the Bills, he kind of tore us up last fall, but really 2016 was his only productive season in the NFL.
Yeah. Well, he's really young. Isn't he second, third-year player?
Third year.
That one's surprising. I don't know what he – like you said, there's not much on him, so we don't really know what he's going to get. The Patriots always go for guys that gash them up, which he did. Like that, he averaged like 7 yards per carry against us for that one game.
Something like that.
Something ridiculous. More surprising on the Bills side that they didn't match. I mean, I'm sure we figured out a contract so they wouldn't match, and they do have McCoy, but it's like, at some point, is anyone in the Bills front office being like, they're gutting us, like, they're stealing all of our guys, we gotta stop them right now. I'd start pushing the panic button a little bit. They took Hogan, ends up being literally best yards per average deep threat in the league, right?
3 years. and
$4 million this year. I mean, that seems pretty reasonable. I know if he was on the open market, he would make $14 million a year, but he's not. And like I just said about Trey Jackson or Brian Stork, you just don't know. And why wouldn't you want to lock that up? And why wouldn't you want to stay in New England? I mean, he's from Alabama or Mississippi. Guess what? There are no professional teams there. You can't play there anyway. You can't. You could play in New Orleans. That's the closest you could go. And that's why he's talking to them so much.
True. Yeah. I would love them to do that. That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be sick. I mean, two great cornerbacks for 2 years in a row. I mean, that's unbelievable. Such a luxury.
What do you mean?
Well, we have Gilmore. The Gilmore contract was wasn't it a 2 year deal for sure.
Oh yeah, 2 years guaranteed. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So it's like him. If you get the two of them for the next couple of years, and that's
amazing.
What every team dreams of. Yeah.
And this kind of leads into the draft a little bit. The Pats, everybody knows they don't have high draft picks this year. We traded away our first and second round pick. We moved back into the third round. So we're sitting here looking at the 72nd is our first pick in this draft. Mm-hmm. And you're like, geez, I thought Belichick was all about building through the draft. I thought he wanted to get people on those rookie contracts that are high value and good deals. And then you look at this team. This is a win now team.
Yeah.
In every sense of the word, your quarterback's 40.
That's it.
This is a win now team, and that's why you got Dwayne Allen on this team. That's why Gilmore is signed at 26 years old, a proven type of commodity. Granted, he hasn't been super consistent, but you're talking about a first-round pick, five-year starter for the Bills. That's why they went with him instead of A.J. Boye, who just may be a little younger, may have a little higher upside, but not as proven. You know, this is a win now team. This is a don't fuck this shit up.
Brandon Cooks,
exactly.
Like, they don't do that.
Tony Ealy. They just keep adding to this team, and that's why maybe there's depletion in the number of young players that they're going to be able to bring in the draft.
Yeah.
But like you said with Brandon Bolden, there's a limited number of roster spots. You just can't add that many people. This roster is bloated with talent.
It's ridiculous. I mean, you can't find a weak spot. The weakest spot is linebacker, and we just signed our top linebacker to a multi-million-dollar deal.
Yeah, multi-year, tens of millions of dollars extension. I went through, I was looking at the roster for who would be a roster lock on this team, and we're already in the high 40s. We're at like 47 people that I'm looking at as locks, and that doesn't include a guy like Brandon Bolden. That doesn't include Cameron Fleming. You know, it doesn't include some of the guys that will likely make the team. We're already like right at the threshold, like right at 50.
Game day roster people.
Yeah, and then you add in, you know, a 72 overall, 96 overall, 131. You expect those guys to make the roster their rookie year. There's just not that much space.
There's really not that much space.
So the fact that we don't have a first or second round pick isn't that big a deal.
And we might even get one.
We might. I hope we don't sacrifice Malcolm for it.
No, I hope it's not Malcolm. I mean,
that brings way too much strength to your defense to have two number one cornerbacks.
Oh my God. Plus what's in front of, I mean, it's like, I can't see why Belichick would do it. Yeah. Unless it's a deal that would blow him away, really. And the 32nd pick, it's like, that's not that good. You're not going to find someone as like you said, proven, like they're looking to win now. Well, yeah, Malcolm gives them that best chance. Absolutely a cornerback. I mean, unless you pick up, like, they plan on getting McCourty's brother or Revis or both of them or something.
Yeah. Yeah, keep them. We all got
keep
that.
Keep them.
The other way that they would gain draft picks is Jimmy Garoppolo. And Adam Schefter is staking his entire professional reputation on the idea that we won't trade Jimmy Garoppolo.
Watch him be wrong. Like, I would love them just to trade him, just to see Schefter try and sweep that one up.
He's been preaching. he's going all the way up to, like, I picture him standing on his desk, jumping up and down, his tie hitting him in the face, going, they're not going to trade him.
Yeah. I don't know why he's so adamant. Like, who's telling Schefter, like, oh, yeah, we're definitely not trading him.
Yeah, I think I said this to you the other night. If Bill Belichick called me up personally and said, listen, I just want your concerns to be alleviated. We're not going to trade Jimmy Garoppolo before the draft. I would not believe that.
No.
I would not be as certain in that situation as Adam Schefter seems to be.
No. I don't see, like, the thing is, you don't know that somebody doesn't come out and put that offer on the table. They might see a player they want. They might see something they got, you know, something else they can work around based on how the board's falling. And they might come out with a deal that the Patriots didn't expect. Like the last time, wow, we really want him. Let's get him. That could happen. Well, how is that so impossible? Or a team that comes out of left field. That's like, yeah, we'll give you like mid-first rounder for him. Belichick, you know, mid-first rounder and a third or something. I'd even take a mid-fucking first rounder.
12?
Yeah, 12.
That's what they got.
I'd take 14, 16.
I said months ago I'd take 12.
I'd definitely take that. Are you shitting me? Last time the Patriots had a 12th, that's what you did. That's why you got Garoppolo. You got drafted him in the second round. See if you needed for Brady to, you know, move along. Brady's still here, still kicking ass. Why not turn him into, you know, the second round or first round? That's value as much as it comes. You can't get any better than that.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. And yeah, I see the other side of it, that you want to keep him as an insurance policy. I get it. You're going into uncharted territory with a 40-year-old quarterback. But Jimmy's only going to be here one more year unless Brady has a catastrophic season, which there's no indication that'll happen. So Jimmy's probably only going to be here one more year. And what would you rather have? First-round pick this year or a possible conditional pick in 2 years?
Right. But the other thing you have to think, too, is, as we just said, this team is loaded.
Yeah.
Like, if they keep Malcolm, you know, defensively, they're pretty, I mean, they had one or two more pieces maybe, and they don't even need it. I mean, they're fine as it is. You get another veteran quarterback in here. I mean, how much better is Jimmy Garoppolo than somebody else out there?
Oh, you know? than Jacoby Brissett? Or you're talking
not
about bringing
Brissett,
in a Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he'd be better.
Matt Castle.
Sure, but like, I mean, this, you saw how he did last year. He was playing with one of the best offenses in the league, and he did pretty good. He got hurt.
Playing without Gronkowski, just saying.
And he got hurt. But he got hurt so fast.
I know. It's such a small sample size to think that he's some sort of franchise quarterback, which makes it all the more reasonable
to
trade him now before people see
figure
more
it out
and realize that maybe he's not. And I'm
like
not saying
Ryan Mallett.
I'm not saying he's not a franchise quarterback. All I'm saying is that we still don't know.
Right. Remember Ryan Mallett, what happened? Everyone was like, oh my God, the Patriots might get a first. They might get a second. And we ended up dishing him for a third.
No, we didn't.
Was it a fourth, fifth?
It was a conditional seventh round pick.
No way. Was it that bad?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was, we basically cut him, except we just gave him to them. It was conditional upon him starting like half the games or something. It was stupid.
So, and he was getting first round look at, you know, at one
point.
I had him
graded as a first round prospect.
But even like after the fact, like they were talking about trades, possibly third or second round, and everyone was like, yeah, that's great. Now they figured out he sucked.
Yeah. You know? Strike while the iron's hot.
Right, exactly. I mean, Jimmy, I don't think he sucks by any means, but to think, you know, he is the next Wonder Boy.
Well, off,
at quarterback.
Off of six quarters of play.
Right.
And it's not like he wowed everyone in the preseason when he played a lot more snaps in the preseason than during the regular season. And
right.
I remember watching him being like, it's good. It's good.
He played good the first couple seasons, first two games, but I mean, it's too much, too good to pass up.
Yeah, I would say so too. Because he is probably not going to see the field this year, and I knock on a strong piece of wood saying that.
Yeah.
So yeah, the draft is coming up. Real quick before we dive into that, I just wanted to, another thing happened in the last couple of weeks. Aaron Hernandez in jail.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was, and he, I'm sure everybody heard, took his own life, and that's sad. I mean, it's, I don't know. I was really, really sad about it. Just thinking
I was
back,
just surprised, just shocked.
He's
the weird story.
He's just like the turn that his life has taken in the last 6 years to go from a guy who was troubled, a troubled prospect coming out of Florida, to have the type of redemption he had in the NFL. Signing the giant contract, going to the Super Bowl, playing for the one of the preeminent franchises in the league.
Playing really well too.
He played great. I had a t-shirt jersey. I was a big fan. He was great on the field, and then to have it all fall apart and then for him to be that broken by the whole thing. I mean, it's crazy to see. Just a really, really sad story.
It's a weird story. Yeah. I think that's one of the weirdest stories I can remember in recent memory. All the weird things that came out of the trials, and then, you know, once he got with the first murder, and then the second, this information came out about another murder, but then he didn't end up doing that other murder, and now it's like the question, did he do the first one? It's just, oh, like nuts. And then he killed himself. So
yeah. So it's kind of like those files are sealed for good now.
Yeah.
I know. And just because I have some measure of sympathy for him doesn't mean you don't also realize that he probably had a part taking multiple people's lives.
Yeah, he possibly had did. So seemingly had something to do with
it. It's beyond just sad just for him.
In every aspect, yeah. It's crazy. Terrible.
It's amazing that that happened with the Patriots. I can't believe that was a Patriots scandal still.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. But crazy stuff. They moved on pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another piece. So now we get to look forward. The draft is coming up on Thursday. The schedule just got released too.
Yep.
Oh yeah, yeah. So let's do the draft real quick first. So I mentioned that they don't have a lot of high picks. This is a pretty deep draft, right? This season, quarterbacks are always headlining. This year they have a lot of question marks.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Andrew Luck in this draft. There's no Jameis Winston.
Right.
But some of those guys have potential to be franchise quarterbacks. Mitchell Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Kizer. Four guys who all have potential to be a franchise quarterback. The only one I really see it happening with is Deshaun Watson. I just think he's a winner.
Yeah.
From Clemson. And then elsewhere in the draft, very strong running back class. Very strong tight end class.
Mm-hmm.
Edge rushers are real good. And the safeties. I've never seen a safety group like this since 2010. It was like reminiscent of the Earl Thomas, Eric Berry. That one. These two mm-hmm. kids, Malik Hooker and Jamal Adams, are top-notch safety prospects.
Yeah.
So
Jamal Adams is sick.
Jamal Adams is so dirty. Oh, my God. What an athlete he is at his size. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun weekend. The draft starts on Thursday night. And for any of you guys, I know the Patriots don't choose very high. And I honestly couldn't tell you who is going to be on the board at 72 that they're going to be looking at.
Yeah. Nobody knows.
If you want to check out the draft, I do a draft guide every year. And this year I put it up on a website called NFLDraftHead.com. That's like crackhead, NFLDraftHead.com. So you guys can check that out, and I'll put up my draft guides from previous years if you want to see what I thought about, you know, Gerald McCoy in 2010 or whatever it is. So there's there that.
In terms check of it out. It's good info.
Oh, thanks for the plug there, Jamesy.
Oh, yeah. They kick ass. Absolutely.
So in terms of who the Patriots should target, I don't have a specific person, but for positions, I got to think edge defender.
Yep.
It has to be a spot you look at. And
the end and linebacker is what I'm thinking.
Maybe, off the ball linebacker as well would be a good spot. Maybe a cornerback, because we kind of have, we don't know how long Malcolm Butler's going to be here.
Yeah.
Question marks from Cyrus Jones. Justin Coleman was benched for the majority of the end of the season. So maybe bringing in some young blooded cornerback. And then I think a tackle might be a good pickup.
Yeah. One, they always pick one or two linemen. Always.
Yeah.
Maybe like a center, because Andrews is up after in 2 years, a year or two.
Oh, geez. Probably after this coming season, because he was an undrafted free agent. Those are usually 3-year contracts.
Right. So maybe a center or interior lineman, tackle, the usuals for Belichick. Maybe a tight end.
Yeah, maybe a tight end. They have, I think Michael Williams is coming back off of his injury, and Matt Langle signed his exclusive rights free agent tender, so he's back. Those are both just kind of big blocking tight ends. Maybe mm-hmm. they want to get somebody who's more athletic. The issue becomes roster spots, too, and how many tight ends are you going to hold? How many interior linemen are you going to keep on the roster? I would like to see a wide receiver, because we kind of aged at wideout.
You know, but like think of, you have Malcolm Mitchell, Brandon Cooks automatically.
Yeah, oh, Jesus. How do I keep forgetting about Brandon Cooks? 23-year-old Brandon Cooks. Malcolm Mitchell is a 24, I think. Chris Hogan's under contract for 2 more years. He's mid-20s. Even though Amendola and Edelman are both in their 30s and coming up, contracts are finished after the season. Yeah, yeah. I mean, okay, never mind on wideout.
I mean, they're just stacked. Yeah. So here's a question for you. If mm-hmm. we do trade at 12, say we get the 12th pick.
Oh, God.
For a trade, who would you take?
Oh man, that's a solid question, and I wish I had my NFL draft big board in front of me. So I could give that a stronger answer. The edge defenders. There's a couple of those guys you really like. Derek Barnett is a player out of Tennessee. A lot of people like him. I didn't upon first viewing, but he's growing on me. Definitely growing on me. Jared Davis. I don't know how to pronounce it. He's a linebacker from Florida. People are comparing him to Ray Lewis.
Really?
Yeah, people are. That's aggressive, but he's a freak athlete, inside linebacker, and by all accounts, number one intangibles. Like better than Dante Hightower intangibles in terms of leadership and motivation and preparedness for the game.
Wow. Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I'd like him. And then how much fun would it be to get a guy like Christian McCaffrey or Dalvin Cook, the playmaking, home run hitting running back.
That'd be sick.
Even though we don't need one.
Yeah.
That'd be so much fun.
That'd be pretty sick.
Taco Charlton is a D end out of Michigan. He's a big player. He's getting Carlos Dunlap comparisons. I don't know. There's a few guys. In my dream scenario, Solomon Thomas, defensive end from Stanford. I think he's Michael Bennett.
Really?
Yeah. Michael. Not Martellus. Michael.
Michael. Oh, yeah.
Michael Bennett, D lineman from the Seahawks. I think he's just like that. Edge player on early downs, interior rusher, just havoc wreaker.
That'd be great. That sounds great. But he's looking like he's going top six, top five.
He's going to go real high. I think he's gaining a lot of momentum lately, but he would be Trey Flowers on steroids.
Imagine Trey Flowers on steroids. He'd be great. He'd be even better than he is.
Hopefully he's not already on him.
Oh, geez. Yeah. So that's the draft. You know, ordinarily we'd have more talk about it if the Pats had. We went through a stretch there where they always had like 2 second-round picks, a first-round pick, 2/3. And they're moving away from that ever since Dominic Easley. They're like, let's just, stick to proven people for now.
Pretty much. Seems like it, yeah.
So then that would bring us to the schedule. The schedule was released. We evidently have one of the easiest strength of schedules, just judging by the record of the teams that we're playing. Their 2016 records. A lot of that has to do with getting the Jets twice. The Bills actually weren't that bad record wise, but we play the LA Chargers.
Yeah, I think this year it's based on strength of schedule. I mean, that's definitely going to change. I mean, the Denver Broncos, I feel like, are going to be a little better than they were last year. I mean, they didn't finish very strongly. The Panthers, another team. I mean, they were bottom of the barrel. You got to think they're going to come back and could be very good.
Mm-hmm.
Same with, that whole division, the Saints, even the Bucks. Like, and obviously the Falcons. Those guys, you don't really know. They could go either way completely. So. Yeah.
If you ask me who's going to win that division right now,
no idea.
I would say anybody but the Buccaneers, and I'd probably be wrong. Because they might have the most balanced team in that division.
Right, exactly. I mean, they're solid on both sides of the ball, or fairly solid. They almost made the playoffs. And you think the Falcons are good, they might dive. I mean, who knows? So that's a tough division. Plus, the AFC West, I mean, that's a tough division too. Raiders, Chiefs, Broncos. Last year, I thought that was the best division in football last year.
Yeah, it's definitely up there. I was trying to think what else. NFC East was pretty good. That's right near the top of the list.
Yeah, so I mean, we're playing them. They got the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, that was weird to say. They're going to be playing in a soccer stadium, but they're coming to Foxborough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a couple difficult stretches. Like, we're going to Denver, and then we're going to Mexico City to play the Raiders right afterwards. Yep. So that'll be a challenging section of the schedule. I don't know why they would do that. I wonder if Bill will want to spend a week somewhere.
He'd probably spend it in Denver. Isn't Mexico City real high altitude too?
They both are. Yeah. Denver's a mile up. I think Mexico City's closer to 10,000 feet, closer to 2 miles.
Holy shit.
Yeah. He'd
dropping dead. Gronk's going to be need a fucking reviving machine. Remember last time we went to Denver?
Yeah, it makes you wonder if maybe they'll go to Mexico City and try to equalize or whatever the correct term, acclimate over the first over a week. Then there's a couple other challenging sections of the schedule. We go to Buffalo, to Miami, and then to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Back to back to back. That's a lot to deal with right there.
But at the end, it could be the Bills and the Jets, which are two probably easy ones.
Yeah, well, home. The Jets for sure. The Jets, obviously.
Definitely some good primetime games. You got the rematch of the Super Bowl on a Sunday mm-hmm. night versus the Falcons. That'll be cool. Opening, didn't even say it, opening the league versus the Chiefs at 8:30 on Thursday night. That's a dangerous game.
Goodell will be in attendance.
Goodell will be in attendance, absolutely. Oh,
this is going to be, I mean, the strength of the reactions from the crowd. They're going to put up the banner from the Patriots' fifth Super Bowl championship. And then at some point in the evening, the Jumbotron is going to show a picture of Roger Goodell in the stadium.
Yeah.
And they're going to, I don't even know which will be louder, the cheers or the boos. I don't know.
I hope the cheers.
I hope the cheers, too.
Cynical fucks out there.
I also hope that the boos, you know what would be great is if they set the sound record, you know, like the last
for
time
the
we
boos?
Played. Yeah, last time we played in Kansas City.
Oh,
they had
come
the,
on.
Like, decibel meter yeah. trying to set the record. Those flabby fans out there trying to get their voices as loud as possible. I hope that we set the record with the Chiefs in the stadium for heckling Goodell. That would be amazing. Just all storylines fit into one perfect, deafening moment. Yes.
Oh, God.
I got something to hope for now.
Yeah, that'd be pretty funny. Then you got... So the biggest thing is the Week 9 bye. That's such a chess piece.
I mean, how do you luck out like that?
2 years in a row?
Yeah.
That's unreal. Yeah. I mean, the Week 4 bye, or you said it moved up to Week 5 this year. So the earliest bye you can have is Week 5. That kills
Ooh.
You.
Yeah.
Kills you. Week 9, it's like a breeze. Week 10, unreal. Then we come out of that and go right to Denver. So our biggest stretch is off the bye. Not bad.
Yeah, it's a lot of time to recover, prepare, get on the flight to go for 2 weeks of maybe our toughest games. Jeez.
Yep.
At Pittsburgh, always tough. At Tampa Bay in early October, that might be sweltering. We're lucky that's a night game. At New Orleans, that's in a dome. I don't know what type of temperature control they have in a dome in September in the bayou.
I have no idea. But probably something.
We get a fair amount of challenging opponents, but we get them at home. Chiefs, Texans, Panthers, Falcons. Lucky to have those games in Foxborough.
Mm-hmm.
Because any of those, I mean, the Panthers and Falcons, there's a reasonable chance either of those two teams could go to the Super Bowl. I mean, there's a reasonable
possible.
Chance. Yeah.
I would think the Panthers are not too likely, but you never know.
I mean, if Cam plays well and they get Keekly back, and I still don't understand why that team sucked this year.
I don't either. Didn't make much sense to me. Everything fell apart for them.
Texans, who knows? We might see Jay Cutler in a Houston Texans uniform. With Tony Romo calling the game. I don't know. It might happen.
It definitely is. There's a chance. Surprisingly, there's a fucking chance.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
If you could go to one game this year, which would it be?
One
game in the 2017 Patriots season. What are you going with? I would play some music right now, but I don't have it. Doo-doo.
Well, because does it have to be a home game?
Nope. You can go anywhere.
Probably the Raiders.
You can go anywhere in this hypothetical. You're going to Mexico City. You're going for dysentery. What are you going for?
What?
Want to see the altitude? Did I just say that too fast for you?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell you said. Dysentery. I don't know. I think it'd be cool.
Yeah,
probably be funny as fuck.
That would be so much fun.
One of my friends had a good point. You're gonna probably see just NFL jerseys, like whatever people have there, and it's gonna be a sight to see in itself.
Oh yeah, you're gonna
just see like it. Random old like weird jerseys, like oh my god, I didn't even know that guy played for them, like shit like that.
Yeah, you'll see like a Wayne Corbett jersey.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Or just, like, random.
Strahan jerseys and shit like that. Like, it's going to be awesome.
Andre Reed.
That in itself would be funny.
Marshall Faulk on the Colts. Oh, yeah, you could have some fun ones. Yeah, I think that's a pretty good one to say. I might go to see. I got to see the Super Bowl rematch. That'd be badass.
Well, I was going to say, if it was going to be home, you have to do Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah. I would go to Pittsburgh, but
no one wants to go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, well, your line of sight is going to be affected by all those stupid towels they're swinging in your face.
Plus, a Patriots fan, I wouldn't want to be a Patriots fan in Pittsburgh.
Well, yeah, you'd probably have to go incognito.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be like that. Wouldn't be fun, you know. Fuck them.
Probably got some good greasy food though. I bet. I bet they do.
Oh my god, they'd probably have unreal food.
Yeah. So, was there anything else you wanted to cover? I know we're in April of the NFL season. Not that much.
Maybe we just covered a lot of ground here.
I know, right? We did the draft, the schedule. I don't know. Maybe we'll just take a hiatus for the next 3 months, hibernate a little bit. Just kidding.
You never know. You never know.
Yeah. So, yeah, thank you guys for tuning in. Once again, check out NFLDraftHead.com. I'll put that up in the show notes, too. And, yeah, we'll be back in the next week or two to discuss who the Patriots got in the draft and what they did that was so unexpected, because they'll always surprise you.
There's always something.
Always something. All right, thanks for listening, guys. We will talk to you soon. See ya.
Adios.